Tonight's message is the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus, and we're going to be talking about the shepherds. Now today, November 30th, 2014, is the eve of December. We're just hours away from December, the Christmas month. And there's many people in this world that have ideas of what Christmas is all about. When I say the world, I'm talking about those who do not have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, who are not followers of Jesus Christ. In the world, some people think that Christmas is about a time of just exchanging gifts, physical gifts. And yes, it is a season of giving, but that is not the true reason for the season. To others, Christmas is a time for hanging out with family and friends. That's good, but that is not the true reason for the season. For others in the world, they think that Christmas is about trees and lights, and that's good, but it's not the true reason for the Christmas season. So many get caught up with the commercialism and the consumerism surrounding Christmas. The true reason for the Christmas season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. Could you say amen?
Amen.
And so today, November 30th, 2014, begins a season called Advent, observed in many Western churches. It's four Sundays before Christmas. Advent literally means coming. It's a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the first coming or advent of Christ into this world over 2,000 years ago, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. This is the reason for the Christmas season, commemorating the first coming of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. Would you agree here tonight? Yes. Say it with me tonight. This is the reason, for the Christmas season. Commemorating the first coming of Jesus into this world. Over 2,000 years ago. All right. And you know, in the first century, There were Jews in the first century who also understood the true reason for Christmas. And these were simple people. They weren't rich. They weren't famous. They were not influential. But they were hard-working, simple individuals. These were the shepherds who heard about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to read it in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. Luke chapter 2, if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. In verse 8, it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Now we can understand from the Old Testament, there were many prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming or the advent of Messiah. In the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament through, we will find many prophecies about the coming of Messiah. Maybe one of the most famous ones is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6, and I'll read it to you. And it says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, some Jews in this first century, some Jews were eagerly awaiting the advent of a political Messiah who would set up a political reign on this earth. But these simple shepherds in Luke chapter 2 were awaiting what? They were awaiting the advent or the coming of a spiritual Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, through whom God would make Himself known to the people of Israel. Is that good news? These simple shepherds, let me say it again, were awaiting the advent, the coming of a spiritual Messiah, a Christ, the Anointed One, through whom God would make Himself known amongst the people. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. And I pose the question to you tonight. Why was Jesus born? Now think about it. Why was Jesus Christ born into this earth? Why did Jesus leave the pomp and the splendor of heaven to come to a sin-riddled earth? Die for our sins, that's good. One of the reasons was to do good and heal all who were oppressed of the devil. When Peter was preaching to the house of Cornelius, he says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. When Jesus walked this earth, when He began His ministry at the age of 30, He went about doing good. He found those that were demon-possessed and He cast the demons out. He found those who were oppressed of the devil and He set them free. He found those who were sick, infirm in their bodies, and guess what? He healed the sick, like the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. He went and found those who were dead and He raised them back to life, like Lazarus, like the son of the widow of Nain who was dead. He brought him back to life. Jesus, when He walked the streets of Israel, He went about doing good. But what was the ultimate purpose of Jesus coming to this earth? What was the ultimate purpose of the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ, into this sin-riddled world? I'm going to propose to you tonight, the ultimate reason Jesus was born was to die. Because it's said in God's Word, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And in the Old Testament, if you read it, the priests would sacrifice animals and the blood of animals would be shed. But the blood of animals only covered over sin for a short time. And those animal sacrifices would have to be repeated. But Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the earth. And His blood covered all sin for all time. He died once and for all. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Jesus was born to die so that you and I could be saved. Amen?
Amen.
My other question to you tonight is this. Are you ready for the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth? Think about it personally. Are you ready for the second advent, for the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth? Paul writes about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Talking about the coming of Christ. The first coming and the second coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 18. It says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I'm here to ask you tonight, when Jesus comes the second time, will you be ready to meet Him in the air?
Yes.
Will you be ready to meet Jesus in the air if He came in the next hour?
Yes.
Are you ready for the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ? If Jesus were to come tomorrow, would you be ready in your spiritual life to meet Jesus and to go to heaven with Him and others who have accepted Jesus? You know, you can be assured that you'll be ready if Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. I want to concentrate on what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2, verse 11. Luke 2, verse 11. This is one of the things that the angel says to the shepherds. Luke 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You've got to have Jesus as your Savior. You can be assured to meet Jesus in the air if He were to come in the next hour, if Jesus is your Savior. What does it mean to have Jesus as Savior? To have Jesus as Savior means the one who saves you from the grip of sin. The one who saves you from the grip of sin. And I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. Maybe the grip of sin, maybe the stronghold of sin over your life is cigarettes and alcohol. Maybe the stronghold of sin over your life tonight is looking at things with your eyes that you should not be looking at. Maybe the stronghold over your life tonight is, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's being intimate with somebody who is not your spouse. Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you. He wants to set you free. He wants to rescue you from the grip that sin may have over your life tonight. And ultimately, Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you and me from eternal damnation in hell. Is that good news? Eternity is forever. I want to go to heaven one day. How about you? I don't want to be eternally damned in hell. How about you? Well, then Jesus has got to be your Savior. You make Jesus Savior by faith in Him, by trust in Him, by putting your life in His hands. You know, if you were to die immediately after accepting Jesus as Savior, you would go straight to heaven. How do you make Jesus Savior in your life? The one who saves you from the grip of sin. The one who saves you from eternal damnation. By faith. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him," in Jesus, "would not perish, but have everlasting life." So tonight, Jesus wants to be your Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, tonight you will have the opportunity to do so. Is that good news? Maybe you accepted Jesus as Savior, but maybe tonight you have slipped away from God. You've slipped away from Jesus. Tonight you'll have the opportunity to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And if you were to die at the moment, right after accepting Jesus as Savior, you'd go straight to heaven. But guess what? Many of you who accept Jesus as Savior will live another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years on this earth. And in that time, you've got to make Jesus your Lord. That's what the angel says to the shepherds in Luke 2:11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Jesus wants to be more than just Savior in your life. Jesus wants to be Lord over every part of your life. Is that good news? A famous minister once said, "Becoming a Christian is the work of a moment." That work of a moment is making Jesus your Savior. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. How do you be a Christian, if you would? By making Jesus Lord, like the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2:11. Now, when I say the word Lord, what comes to your mind? What does the word Lord mean? When somebody says God, anybody else? Ruler, exactly. Lord is ruler, controller, supreme in authority. The big boss of your life. Now, some of you out there may work for an employer, maybe 2 hours a day, maybe 8 hours a day. And during the 8 hours that you work for that boss, he's paying you to do a job. Guess what? When he asks you to do something, you're going to do it in that job setting. Right? He's your boss for those 8 hours. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ wants to be the big boss in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ wants to be the big boss in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If Jesus says jump, you're to say, Jesus, how high? All right? Jesus wants to be the big boss. He wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. Who is in the driver's seat of your life right now? Who has got the steering wheel of your life at this point in your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? You see, Jesus wants to be Lord over every part of your existence. He wants to be Lord over your mind, over the thoughts that you think. Are your thoughts Christ-like and pure? Jesus wants to be Lord over your body. Is what you do with your body Christ-like and godly? Jesus wants to be Lord over your spirit. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. He wants to be Lord over every part of you. But tonight, I propose, will you make Jesus Lord over the things He has entrusted to you? Let me ask you again. I propose to you tonight, will you make Jesus Lord over the things He has entrusted to you? That He has made you manager and steward over. Will you be willing to give of yourself this Christmas season what He might be asking you to give? You might be saying tonight, well, you know what? I have nothing to give. I'm so much in need myself. I don't have enough money. I'm living in a shelter. What do I have to give this Christmas season? But friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, think about it. There's somebody out there in greater need than you. You've got a shelter to sleep in tonight. Tonight there's going to be somebody sleeping under a bridge in 30 degrees. At this place, you have a meal every day. There's somebody out there that has gone without a meal for 2 or 3 days. There's somebody out there in greater need than yourself. You might be thinking tonight, well, what do I have to give this Christmas season? How do I make Jesus Lord over the things He has given me? Well, He's given you certain things. He's given you time. How many here have time? Every one of us has time, right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Take part of that time and be a friend to a lonely person. Maybe there's somebody you've met recently in downtown Tulsa that hasn't spoken to somebody for such a long time or has no human contact. Maybe God is going to speak to you this Christmas season, this Advent season, to go and spend a couple of hours a day with that person or a couple of hours in a week with that lonely person. You can give of your time. God has given you maybe some resources, finances, money. You may have only $100 to your name, but you've got a shelter. And God may be telling you, I want you to buy groceries for a week for that one person you met the other day. Will you do it? Will you make Jesus Lord over those resources that He has given you, even though they may not be a lot of resources? You know, God has given you a mouth. How many here have got a mouth? How many here are able to speak with your mouth? Well, you know what? You can speak words of encouragement with your mouth. You can give words of encouragement this Christmas season to somebody who is down and depressed. You can say, Jesus loves you and I believe in you. And that can change and turn around a person's life. How many here have got arms and legs that work? We all do, right? You can give of acts of service this Advent season, this Christmas season. Maybe you might find somebody on the side of the road that has a flat tire. You can stop over and help that person change their flat tire. Maybe you can help out here at the mission, setting up chairs, taking down chairs, maybe helping in the kitchen. There's something you can do with the arms and the legs that God has given to you. There are many things, if you think about, that God has given to you. Many things that you have in your life that God has entrusted to you. But will you make Jesus Lord over the things He has entrusted to you? Will you give of yourself this Christmas season and beyond? If you take care of God's business, God's going to take care of your business. Maybe there's somebody out there that hasn't received human touch for weeks or months. You've got arms. Go and hug that person and say, God loves you. I believe in you. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? I'm going to read you a quote from Mother Teresa, the great missionary to India, Calcutta. And it says this: some years ago, Calcutta experienced a great shortage of sugar. One day, a boy about 4 years old came to see me with his parents. They brought me a small container of sugar. When they handed it to me, the little one told me, I've spent 3 days without eating any sugar. Take it. This is for your children. The little one loved with an intense love. He had expressed it by personal sacrifice. I repeat, he was no more than 3 or 4 years old. He could hardly say my name. I didn't know him. I had never seen him before, nor had I met his parents. The boy made that decision after he found out from the grown-ups about my situation. Isn't that awesome? Little boy gave sugar away, and God has given you things that you can give away this Christmas season, but you've got to determine in your heart that Jesus is going to be Lord over the things that he has given to you. Even though they may not seem spectacular, you've got things in your life, as I talked about, that you can give away. What is a Christian? Someone asked a Hindu man. He responded, the Christian is someone who gives. Could you believe that? A Hindu man saying that. A Christian is someone who gives. Jesus came, the first advent of Christ was in a manger over 2,000 years ago. This is the season of Advent. The second advent of Jesus is going to happen. He will appear in the skies. Will you be ready? The way to be ready is to make Jesus Savior by faith in him, and Lord over every part of your life. Lord over the things that he has given you. Giving the things he's telling you to give. Be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, because he's going to speak to you this Christmas season about giving away some of the things that he's made you manager and steward over. Amen?